recent European elections showing an electorate increasingly becoming wary of the EU project.
Just where did the EU come from? Where is it heading? And crucially, how much does it cost us all?
The first thing that stands out is that the UK has never had a referendum by the people agreeing to the EU as it is today. The only vote the British people had regarding Europe came all the way back in 1975. But this was an after-the-fact vote to remain in something called the European Economic Community.
Something that the UK had already signed up to a couple of years earlier in a vote of Parliament.
Back then, it was the Labour Party that were the Eurosceptic Party, and it was the Tories, led by Thatcher, who were the pro-European party. And it was their votes that were instrumental in getting membership to the EEC passed in Parliament.
The referendum question was short and sweet.
Should the UK remain in the European Economic Community?
The EEC was sold to the UK electorate as being about economic integration rather than political integration. It focused on cutting trade barriers between the member countries to allow for greater and cheaper trade between the countries.
However, over the years, the EEC changed into what it is today, something vastly different to what it was 40 years ago. So whether you think the EU is a good thing or a bad thing, it does seem rather odd that something so important and fundamentally changing the system of government we have has never actually been agreed to by the people. Of course, there's been countless promises of referenda over the years, seemingly more for winning votes at election time rather than an actual willingness to hold a referendum. But here we are some 40 years later, and the British people find themselves part of a political process they had no say in designing and no say in creating. So where is the EU heading? If you read the white papers and listen to the speeches by the key players in Europe, the direction is quite clear. A more federalised Europe, more centralisation of power, and further integration. With things like a common European tax and a common defence force even being suggested.
So how much does the EU cost us?
Top jobs in Europe, both unelected lest we forget, are the EU Commissioner President and the EU Council President. The EU Council President earns £300,000 per year, and the EU Commissioner President earns £250,000 per year, excluding expenses, of course, which can be measured in the millions. This compares to the UK Prime Minister, who earns around £140,000 per year, making EU politicians some of the best paid on the planet. This year, the UK will send the EU around £16.6 billion. To put that into perspective, we spend around £23 billion a year on transport, £30 billion to fund our armed services, and £17 billion on industry, agriculture and employment. So it's a significant amount. But like nearly all things related to government financing and bookkeeping, the amount we send to the EU isn't as clear as all that. There's something called the rebate, which Thatcher introduced in 1984 and Tony Blair cut by 20% in 1997. This is simply money that is then paid back to the UK after our annual contribution. When this rebate and money back from other taxes are taken into account, the amount of money we got back last year was around £8 billion. Which means our net payments for last year were around £8.5 billion. So how does this compare to recent years? In the last 3 years that Labour were in power, the net contributions to the EU were 2007, £4 billion, 2008, £3.7 billion, 2009, £4.7 billion,
for a total of £11.7 billion.
What about the Tories' first 3 years in office? 2010, £9 billion, 2011, £7.4 billion, 2012, over £9 billion,
for a total of more than £25 billion. Which all means the Eurosceptic Tories have actually been responsible for a 100% increase in the net amount of cash given to the EU each year.
In fact, every year since 1979, the UK has sent more to the EU than it receives back.
In total, the UK has sent to Europe around 270 billion since 1979. And the UK has received back around 165 billion in the past 43 years. Meaning the UK taxpayer has directly subsidised the European project to the tune of 115 billion since 1979. So what does all that look like? Well, the House of Commons actually produced a really useful chart, which is the UK's net contributions in today's money, so taking the devaluation of the pound out of the equation. Now, back at the end of the 70s, we can see we were contributing around £1 billion a year, rising through time to where we are today, which is over £9 billion. Now, whilst there are annual fluctuations, the trend is clear. More of our money is being spent on the European project. Now, to be clear, the UK receives back way more than just that rebate every year. The fact that there is now a single market of over 500 million people, way larger than the USA, with the accompanying reduction or elimination of trade barriers, has led to great savings for the British people. Then there are other intangibles, like foreign businesses locating to the UK to be part of that massive single market. Whilst it's impossible to put precise numbers on these things, there has undeniably been great benefits of being able to trade freely with one another. But perhaps the EU's greatest success comes from the history that it grew out of. After the Second World War, the people of Europe went in search of a political system to stop us fighting each other. And in the very noble sense of preventing wars amongst member countries, the EU has been a total success. There has been no fighting. But do we really need such a bloated leviathan of a bureaucracy with ever-increasing costs and powers to stop us fighting one another? After all, the Swiss trade freely with Europe and they're not in the EU. And they haven't fought a war for 200 years.